Shavuot Tov, world. Today's daf Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Samach Beit, and we're holding right at the top of the daf. And we had, yesterday, we had a question of why it was that we added a gamma, a shape of a gamma of four amos to the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yosef said that the reason was that it simply wasn't big enough, the Mizbeach that was there from before, and therefore they had to make the Mizbeach bigger. And Abaye said, that doesn't make any sense, because after all, there are so many more people in the Bayez Risha and then the few tens of thousands that came to the Bayez Sheni. And Rav Yosef explained that, well, that's because they didn't have the Esh Ben HaShamayim that was helping them. That was Rav Yosef's explanation. Now, there was another explanation that we had yesterday, which was quoted from Bar Kappara, and that was that they needed to expand it in order to include the Shisim. So you remember, the Shisim are the fundamental connection of the Meitahim to the Mayim that is on top of the globe. This fits in with the whole idea of the Beis HaMikdash as the center of creation, with the Evan HaShisiyah being the first gravity well in the accretion of the earth, and then the water of the earth, and the Tahom needs to be connected to that center. And that's the place in which the Aveda Sa'odam, which was initially the Aveda of bringing Mayim, which is the Iker of the Tefillah, and that's why on Sukkot we actually bring Mayim and we pour it through the Shisim. And the Shisim was from the time of Bereshit. Remember that one of the ways that we can read Bereshit is Bora Sheet, as the Mishnah really is hints at in Sukkah, and that this was from Sheshisim Bereshit. And therefore, originally, they were afraid to actually make a hole through the Mizbeach. When a Sinai call means leave a hole by putting something in the mold. But that's because they learned that Mizbeach Adama means there has to be Atum Ka Adama. And then that door were analyzing that the Pasuk doesn't mean actually solid Adama. It means Mechubar to the Adama, and that was the basis of the Yisr of building Agabe Kipin v'Agabe Mechilot. So after Rabbi Yosef had said the pshat that he said yesterday, that they needed to have this extra space, remember that Rabbi Yosef had a terrible situation in which he had gotten ill and he wasn't able to chazer, and he forgot a lot of his learning. So very often, he rediscovers and remembers, or somebody reminds him, we have a lot of cases in the Mishnah, of what it is that he had said initially, and then he says, oh, okay, right, the correct approach is what I said originally. Here, too, Omer of Yosef, where Yosef says, wait a minute. What I said, that's not what I originally understood. What I said about there not being enough place, that's not the point. Point was that since it says in the Pasuk, remarkably in Ezra, it says over there for the first time, Vayachinu HaMizbeach Al Mechonotav Ki Be'imar Lehem Mi'amei HaRatzot. So they had to, define precisely the Mokum of the Mizbeach, and that was the first generation that actually was omed on the correct midos of the Mizbeach to the maximum. She gilis sof midosav, they figured out how far you'd be able to go with that Mizbeach. And they, and only they, Shlomo HaMelech didn't make that drush, and he wasn't aware of it. And they got for the first time to the Mizbeach HaMechonatav. Ask the Gemara, is that possible? I mean, it's a pasuk that everything was given over with Shmuel to David, and David HaMelech says this to his son Shlomo when he gives him over that Megillah that they wrote up from when they had been in Nayot, like we saw earlier. So how can you say that Shlomo HaMelech wasn't aware of it? Yes, El Amar of Yosef, the point is, of course, it was all there. But you needed to understand it, right? You needed to be derish that Megillah. So, kro ashkach v'darash v'yomer David. Zehu beit Hashem Elokim v'zeh mizbeach lo'olah le'Yisrael. So, basically, when he gave over this information. So he gave it over, it says in Divrei Hayomim, with a hekesh. The hekesh was that the Beis Hashem Elokim is mukash to the Mizbeach. And therefore, they understood that from this hekesh, you learn that the Mizbeach has the same potential midos, at least in its length, as the bayit. So it should be ki bayit, just like the bayit is shishim amot, af mizbeach shishim ama. So therefore, they recognized that you could make it larger, and that was the point. It wasn't just because they needed to make it larger. It could be that even before that, there were times that they needed to make it larger. But the point is that then they finally saw from that pasuk that this is actually what you are able to do, and therefore whatever is best, that's what you do. So actually, it was something that was like a tremendous chiddush. That's what it was, and that's what I should have said yesterday, said Reb Yosef. Now, the question is, how did they know where the Mizbeach was meant to be? I mean, all of these midos that we have about the size, the distance of the Mizbeach from the Heichal, and whether it was Betzofain or Betorain or it was Mamutza, I mean, they needed to, as the Rambam says, they needed to know exactly where to place the Mizbeach, because the Rambam's lashon is, the Mokom of the Mizbeach is Mechuvan Biyoter. If you know precisely where the Mizbeach is meant to be, then as the Rambam paskins, the Kedusha, as we saw, the Kedusha was La'asid Lavei, and you are allowed to be makriv even though there is no bayit. So if you know precisely where the Mizbeach is, then you would be bringing korbanos. L'chor, you'd be chayiv to bring korbanos. But how did they know, when they came back from Bovel, how did they know precisely where to put the Mizbeach? Omar, Rabbi Elazar, I mean, I understand it, where they knew where to put the Heichal and where everything belonged, because they could actually still see the remnants of the Heichal. So the bayit minkara tzurato, but the Mizbeach, how did they know? I mean, it didn't have any foundation. Omar Rabbi Elazar, they actually had a vision in which when they came to build the Mizbeach, they saw an actual Mizbeach that was functioning, and Michael, Hasar HaGadol of Yisrael and the Shamayim from Yerushalayim Shalmala, where they were seeing essentially the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala, that's Mechuvan connected Beis Hamikdash Shalmala. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to see that moment, what it was that was in the Shamayim, and therefore they knew that that was the place to be makriv. Reb Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, which Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, the words Reb Yitzchak Nafcha is Reb Yitzchak B'smithi, who's always making fires and so on, right? So he said, yes, they saw the Afer of Yitzchak. Obviously, he's the one to say that. So they saw the Afer of Yitzchak in that place because, as we know, in essence, Yitzchak, if you take a look in the Pesukim, you'll actually see this in the Pesukim, Yitzchak never got off on the Mizbeach, because it says he never, doesn't say anything about Avram Avinu going back with Yitzchak when he went home. So the Yitzchak, in a sense, was completely consumed on the Mizbeach, and therefore they saw a vision of the Afer of Yitzchak that was there in that place, and that, of course, was the tremendous zechus for Yisrael, and because of that, they were able to place it there. Of course, this is Maram Yisroel, which Maram actually brings in the Yochas Beis HaBechira, where he talks about the fact that the Mizbeach is built on the Makom where Avram Avinu was Akadas Yitzchak, which is the place where Adam Arishon brought the Korban, and so on. He goes through that whole history and makes a point of pointing out that it is the Makom of the Akadas Yitzchak. Ushur Banach Miniyamar, Bikol Habayit Kulo Herichu Reach Ketoret, all over, wherever they went, they smelled the Ketoret. And the only place where they smelled a Reach of Evorin, they actually smelled like a barbecue, which was the Reach HaNichoach, that was only in the place where the Mizbeach actually was. By the way, I should mention that the Mizbeach Shishim, the Pashtus, the Rambam, understands that differently, because that's why I said the Mechuvan Biyoter. And he probably, and many suggest, That's what the Svasana suggests. And it could be that according to the Rambam, the Shishim was referring to the Mizbeach together with the Kevesh could take up Shishim. That would be what they were Derish, which we'll talk about later when we get to the Kevesh coming up. Omar Rabba, Rabba Chanan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Actually, the way that they knew where the Mizbeach was because three Nevi'im came with them from Bavel, and this was Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and they were part of the Ashkenazi Akdela, as you know. And they came up from Bavel in order to be made. Echad, Ha'id Lahem al Mizbeach, one of them was made about the size that we talked about before, that it could be like Rashi, it could be up to Shishim, or, you know, however we learned it. Echad, Ha'id Lahem al Makom HaMizbeach, so precisely where the Makom HaMechuven Biyoter was given over by a Navi. Echad, Ha'id Lahem, Shemakrivim Afa Pishein Bayit. And one of them was made that the halacha is that the kedusha rishona kichil shaita kichil asid lavai binogea the makom hamikdash, which we spoke about earlier, that this is where the Rambam paskins the makrivim afa pishein bayit, and that's even though the rest of Eretz Yisrael we don't say that it's the kedusha rishona kichil asid lavai. And as I mentioned to the Rambam, explains that there's a difference between Kedusha Shechina and a Kedusha that came originally through Kibush. It's a whole fascinating discussion in the Midrash, you know, about why there wasn't a Kibush. Wasn't there also a Kibush? Why do we say specifically the entire Kedusha was Kedusha Shechina? So, okay, he talks about all of the issues, whether it was left specifically that only should be in Kedusha Shechina. It's just an interesting point. Anyway, continuing. So now in the Brighton, it's a little bit different. So Shlosha Nevim Amu Imahem in Agola, Echad, She'id Lahem Al HaMizbeach Va'al Mekom HaMizbeach. According to the Brighton of Yerub Lezeb and Yaakov, wasn't two separate Nevim. That one was made on the Mizbeach and one was made on the Mokom HaMizbeach. Those two things went together. One was made Shemakriven Afal Pishein Bayit. And one of them was made that you can start now writing the Torah in Ktav Ashurit, because up until that time, they had been writing in Ktav Ivri. And Ezra, the question was, as the more comes out, that it was Ezra brought back the Ktav of Ashurit, which was really the original Ktav. And since the level of its Kedusha wasn't meant to be used during the time of the Golos and after the Kilkulin, Ezra, though, brought it back when they came back in order to build a second Beis HaMikdash. The question over here is, what good are Nevi'im for all of this, since a Navi cannot tell you a halacha? There's no right for a Navi to tell you. So some say that that this is specifically, and works out very well according to the Shita, that holds that a Navi can certainly be made about a fact. So, and that has nothing to do with the halacha. So if the Navi is telling you this is the Makom HaMizbeach, that's not being Mechadesh halacha. It's just, he's telling you the fact is this is where it was, which he knows al pi Nevi'is. Otherwise, obviously, the Nekuda could be over here. It was an Eidus in terms of the Kabbalah that they had from Terah, not from Nevi'is. And since they were part of the Mesiras HaTerah, said they came up in order with their authority to tell you what the halacha was. It doesn't mean that it was Alpi Nevi'is, even though they were Nevi'im necessarily. Tana Rabbana, if we're talking about the different Mizbechot, so, I mean, if you're telling me that Megillah that was given by David HaMelech is definitive, so, like, isn't that part of what's definitive, the Midot? No. Actually, there are things that are definitive. Namely, you need to have Kramot on a Mizbeah. You need to have a Kevesh to the Mizbeah. There needs to be a Yisod. There needs to be a square shape, ribua. That is ma'akev. If that is not correct, the mizbeach is not kosher, he cannot be makrev on it. But midat arko, umidat rochbo, umidat komato are not ma'akev. And therefore, b'diavad, no matter what you did, you would be able to be makrev on that mizbeach. How do we know that? Minan emile. On Ravuna, well, if you take a look, all of these places, it uses the word ha-mizbeach. Ha-mizbeach means the mizbeach as it must be. Not mizbeach, but ha-mizbeach. So then, since in each one of the dinim that we just spoken of, it says the word ha-mizbeach, it says karnot ha-mizbeach, which means that the mizbeach requires karnot. It says yisod ha-mizbeach. Mizbeach requires a yisod. It talks about ravua yihye ha-mizbeach. That means this is definitive of the mizbeach. So it needs to be square. The fact that it has to have a kevesh is because it says el pnei ha-mizbeach, and that can only be referring to a kevesh, as which is calling something a pnei, means there's a way in to it. So it needs to be something that is a way in. That's how Rashi understands it. And therefore, ha-mizbeach means that is part of the definitive din of what a mizbeach would be. So if that's true, asks the Gemara, so then you should say that according to Rebbe, and Rebbe, we're going to see in a moment that we have a machlokes, what is the meaning of the karkov? It says in the beferish in the pasuk that there is supposed to be a michbar nechoshet, and this michbar nechoshet is put tachat karkov ha-mizbeach, v'hayta ha-reshet ad chatzi ha-mizbeach. Now that would mean that whatever this karkov is, since it's defined as ha-mizbeach, now we know that there was a reshet nechoshet, and that reshet nechoshet was essentially something that was like a screen, was made like a net, fish net, as the Mefarshim said it, and that surrounded the Mizbeach, and that was, we brought earlier in the Gemara, that's the marker that the Torah was actually maftil between the Domim Helyonim and the Domim HaTachtonim. That, we took that from the Midbar, and we made that into the Chut HaSikra that we keep talking about. So, okay, so we know that it's got to be there, because it says Karkov HaMizbeach, Vaita Reshet Atchatzi HaMizbeach. Now, what exactly is that Karkov? So that's a machlokas. Rebbe says that the Karkov, as opposed to the Reshet, the Karkov is Kiyur. Kiyur is pictures. That they were just beautiful pictures around the Mizbeach. Or designs, doesn't mean necessarily a picture of a thing. From the way that they were trying to talk about it, it had both. It had actual pictures and designs that created the area that's the kiyor. And according to Rabbi Yossi, which we're going to see, that it became the soveiv. So according to that, since it says ha-mizbeach, are you going to tell me that's because it says v'nadato tachat karkov ha-mizbeach, that that's ma'akev too? Because Vitanya, Ezel Karkov, the Karkov, according to Rebbe, is Kiyur. It's designs. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, no. It's actually the equivalent of the Sovev on the Mizbeach, on the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a real ledge that sticks out. It's not decorative. Okay, so that's the question of what exactly it is. But whatever it is, it became the Sovev in the Beis HaMikdash that was Banui. And now the question is, you didn't list that in the things that are ma'akev. So now according to this, it should be ma'akev. Or would you say that according to Rebbe and according to Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda, it would actually be ma'akev? Vitanya, Ezu Karkov, Rebbe Omerze Kiyor, and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda Omerze HaSovev. You didn't list the Sovev. You talked about square, and you talked about Yesod, and that you said all of that was important, but what about the Sovev? Would the Sovev also be ma'akev? Yes, indeed. In the Tanya, there is actually a story of This is was a beautiful story that we had in Maseches Sukkah, where the Tzedukim did not believe in the putting Mayim on the Mizbeach. Where the heck does that come from, they said. So once they had a Tzeduki, who was the Kohen that was supposed to be doing the Nisach HaMayim, and instead of doing the Nisach HaMayim, he pours it, he makes pretend he's pouring it, but he pours it on his feet. And everybody saw that he poured it on his feet instead of into the Shittim, into the Kronot. So they threw Esrogim on it. Some people, whoever had a stone, threw a stone. Other people threw Esrogim. Anyway, they damaged the Mizbeach. So Oto Hayom Nivgama Karen Mizbeach, one of these stones hit the Karen, and it broke off a piece, which passed the Mizbeach. Eviu Bun Shel Melach Ustamu. So they brought like a whole handful of melach, and they plugged up the hole. Not because you could plug up the hole in the Mizbeach with melach, lomit ben shkoshu avoda, but because it was a bizoyan that the Mizbeach should be pogum in front of them. And because of that, they didn't want to leave it, so they closed it up at least for aesthetic purposes. Shelo yira'eh ha-Mizbeach pogum. Shekol Mizbeach. But Lemaisa, it was possible, because Kol Mizbeach she'en lo keren, the kevesh, the yesod, the ribua is possible. Fine, that's what we learned before. And here, Rabbi Yossi actually adds, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Da'imer, af ha-soved. So you see that according to him, that the takakov, which it says ha-mizbeach, is the soved. You see, according to him, the soved is also ma'akev, and that would mean mistama, the same thing is true, obviously, according to Rabbi. That if he learns that it's not the Sovev, it's Kiyur, so then the Kiyur would be Ma'akir. Tan Rabbanan has a strange brisa that says, the Karkov on Mizbeach is actually the area between the Karnot HaMizbeach, which is where the Kohanim walk. What? That's crazy. First of all, Kohanim do not walk in the Amma where the Kranot are, because then they would fall on the Amma when they're the Karen, when they get to the end. How are they going to turn around to the other side of the Mizbeach? It's ridiculous. Oto Kohanim, ben Karen, the Karen, Avoazva. No, I mean, Ima, the Mokom ben Kranot, which was one Amma, plus the extra Amma of Mokom Hiluch Raglea Kohanim, another Amma, and that area was the Karkov? What? It says Beferish, the Karkov was on the side. When it's talking about the Reshet, it says Vaktiv Tachat Karkuvo Milamata at Chetzio. So then that would mean that the Karkov was Mechalik between the Reshet was Mechalik between the Domino Yonim et Tachtonim, and it was directly beneath the Karkov, which is actually, that's where the Sovev is. When the Kohen is walking on the Sovev, so he's one Amma above the Chuta Sikra, as we learned, and he could put his hand down, actually, if he's doing a Matam Domim that was supposed to be Me'alvi, the Chuta Sikra, he could actually put his hand down. Doesn't necessarily have to go up. So, how could you possibly talk about a Karkov on the top surface of his bath? It's ridiculous. It's a Ferish Pasuk that it's not there. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, there were two Karkovs. A Karkov means, remember, an area that is actually, when we use the word Karkov, we had in Kalim the idea, a Karkov is like how would you say it? Where you like make a decorative notch around a Becher or something. I forgot the word for it. There's a word in silversmith.
An etching?
Huh?
An etching?
It's like an etching, but that doesn't work. But it's like an etching, an indentation that you scrape out. And the reason that they did this, because on top as well, was because the Kohanim could easily slip. So because of that, they wanted to make the surface of the Mizbeach where the Kohanim are, they wanted to make it rough and deeper, so that there would be a slight rim, so that even if a Kohen slipped, he wouldn't slide right off the Mizbeach and kill himself, Mizbeach was, you know, it was like two stories high. I mean, if they fall off of that. So therefore, they like etched it out of the Mizbeach to provide like a little rim and a rough surface to walk on. So that was also called a karkov, because that's what karkov means. But obviously, the karkov that's listed in the pasuk is talking about the karkov that was on the side of the Mizbeach. So, fine, that's not a problem. So there were two, says Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak. One was the decorative karkov, which was on the side of the Mizbeach, which became, according to Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, more than decorative at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It became an actual surface to walk on. And Chav v'Kohanim de'lo nishtarku. Chav said on the top, it was just a logistical requirement.
Moshe Mendel wants to know if they've been scoring the surface.
Yes, thank you. It's exactly, yes, thank you. So it was a scored surface, and that way the Kohanim would not fall. And even if they fell, there would be a slight rim that would catch their foot before it went over the edge. So midat orko, umidat rohubo, umidat komato, ein ma'akvin, says Rabbi Mani, ein ma'akvin, on one condition, it can't be less than the size of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, because that was the minimal Mizbeach that was given. And what was that size? Amar Rav Yosef, Amar. This is special for this week's parsha. So mechako ale, everybody burst out laughing. What, this idiot? It says beferish in the pasuk, chamesh amot orech, the chamesh amot rocham, rovu aya Mizbeach, and this guy says, the Mizbeach of Moshe was one Amar. So Bayez said to Rav Yosef, maybe Rebbe means the place of the Ma'arocha itself, which of course was precisely that one Amma, the burning surface. Because remember, we had to take off from all the sides, one Amma between the Kronos, which wasn't for burning, and then the Amma of the Hiluch HaKohanim, because Barnea kept complaining about having his toesies burned. And then the middle part, which leaves only one Amma, if you take off two Ammas on each side, from five Amas, then you're left with only one square Amma. Is that what Rebbe was referring to? Or my life, Rebbe Yosef said to Abaye, these idiots, Mar de Gavaraba, you are a great man, and you understand when someone intelligent talks to you what he's talking about. These Meshugoyim around here think they know something. They have no idea what I'm talking about. So Mar de Gavaraba, we are the Maikan. You know what I was talking about, but as far as these guys, these guys aren't really Jewish. These guys are B'nai Keturah. So, meaning, yeah, they may come from Avram Avinu, but that's where it ends. You know, Avram Avinu had, like, all types of kids. Okay, you know, very nice. I'm sure they all have a bris milah, but that's about as far as it goes. They sure don't have any brains. Anyway, Rabbi Tarfon had some nephews that were in the Beis HaMidrash, and they were very shy. And they were sitting there in front of Rabbi Tarfon. They didn't open their mouths. And nothing. So he wanted to get them, you know, talking. So he starts saying over the pasuk, Vayosef Avram Vayikach Isha Ushma Yuchani. It said, oh, doesn't it say Keturah? He says, okay. Is that the only response you have, you idiots? You are B'nai Keturah. So Kori Aleihem B'nai Keturah. Actually, it's a beautiful Reb Tzadok who explains why he specifically said Yuchani. It turns out that Yuchani, as we saw, Yuchani, he was, remember, Yuchani and Mamre, they were the two big mechashvim of Mitzrayim, like it says in the Nisim of the Yamsuf. So he explains the relationship of Keturah, which means to be careful not to be mizana. He explains the relationship between Keturah, Kashrat Tachea, not to be Mizana, and the fact that she was from Mitzrayim. And he has a beautiful piece that interrelates the two issues of Kishuf and sexuality. He says are deeply related. So if she was, and he shows that if she was careful not to be loose sexually, then she was definitely from the big Mechashrim. It brings a lot of riots to the interrelationship of them. So that's why he called them Yuchani. But anyway, it wasn't just Stan. No, so he expected that they would ask, you know, so why is Rebbe calling it Yoni? Instead, they say, doesn't it say Keturah? Oh, God. Yeah, you know, you're brilliant. Anyway, so getting back to the Mizbeah from Meshrabim. Omer Abaya Baruna, Omer of Chama Baguria. You also, remember, you have to put on twice a day the Gizirei Eitzim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu made these Gizirei Eitzim, so you have to put on two Gizirim of fire, once Baboker and once Achrei Tzoraim for the Tumi. That was part of the Hachana of the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach Ola. Those Gizirim were one Amma by one Amma exactly. And the thickness was the thickness that you use for Machak Godesh Se'an. Which means that when they used to sell, you would go into a store, you would buy one Se'an. So if it was one Se'an that was precise, it would take a piece of wood and go over the top of it so that you knew that it was precisely one Se'an. It could charge you per Se'an. There was a standard piece of wood like that, which was called the Godesh. It was the thing that was the machak of the Godesh. The Godesh was the extra material, and the piece of wood was a machak. So it was like a level. And that has a standard thickness. That was the thickness. Omer Rebbe Yirmiyah, but this is only talking about, it says an Amma by an Amma, but this was the Amma Geduma, which was only the midget Amma, which was only 5 Tvachim instead of 6 Tvachim, because that way, it's still, you know, this problem with Barnea always burning his toesies and so on. If it would be a full Amma by an Amma, it would probably end up burning someone. So they made it smaller so that you could still have, you know, get a little closer, but still not get burned. Omar Rav Yosef, excuse me. I mean, why did we have to make it on the smaller scale? Doesn't it say, this is basically a Braita. Braita says that on the Pasuk, Al Ha'etzin, Asher Al Ha'esh, Asher Al Ha'mizbeach. So, obviously, it's Al Ha'mizbeach. So, what is that coming to tell me? Shalo Yu Eitzin, Yotzim Min Ha'mizbeach Krum. That the Eitzin should not be going into the area that wasn't the part that was being burned, the Ha'ma, they shouldn't extend beyond that at all. But that means that they were allowed to be that size. They just shouldn't extend. So why are you telling me they have to be smaller? It's clear in this brayta that they didn't have to be smaller. That was the size. Tanhakim. So in Midot, we've been going through the Midot that were from the Mishnayos in Midot. So it was also, we move on now to discussing the Kevesh. So the Kevesh, it says in the Mishnah in Midot, the Kevesh was on the southern side of the Mizbeach. It was 32 amot long. It measured along the ground on 16 amot wide. How do we know that it's supposed to be to the south? Omer Ravuna, Omer Krot, Vishachatoto, a Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafona. So if you do the Shechita, you call the Yerech. Yerech means a thigh. Now, if somebody is crouching on the ground and his thighs, so his legs are in one direction, then his face would be in the opposite direction. If his legs are north, Tzafon, then his face is Daron. So that would imply that the face of the Mizbeach is Daron. And that would be why, as you're facing the Mizbeach, that's where you would go into the Mizbeach. I understand. Well, I mean, most people I meet have feet and face on the same side. I mean, why do we talk about somebody who's lying down? Omar Rava, because you're supposed to put the person on his face. I think just the opposite. I think people should be put normally. Teretzvah Sivgavra, let him stand straight. I don't understand. If he's sitting, whatever you think, but I mean, why would he be lying with his feet pointing in one direction and his face pointing in another direction? Omar Lay said, Rava, you're not looking at the word about the Mizbeach. Remember, it keeps stressing, Ravua Yiyah Mizbeach. Now, the word Ravua, besides meaning square, also means flat, right? Lying down flat. You're on the ground. So that's why a rape is called a revia. Somebody put somebody face down on the ground. So this is revua, which means that you're looking at a Mizbeach, which would be similar to a person who is lying flat, in which case his thighs would be in the opposite direction of his face. I thought, said the Baya, didn't we use that word Ravua to tell me that the Mizbeach has to be square? How do you have it available to them? It's not saying that it's supposed to be lying down. Says Rava, well, if it would have just wanted to say square, what should it have said? Meruba, right? It doesn't say meruba. It says ravua. So ravua means that it's lying down. So then, I understand. So according to you, I have to ask, so does it say ravut? I mean, the Torah should have said ravut is the normal way that we would have said the person is lying. Ravua is a very strange way to use for ravut. Amalei says, Rava, that's the point. We use a word which has two different possible meanings in order to tell me both. So you have a double connotation with one word. Ravua bedafka was chosen here, which also teaches you that it's meruba, and it also teaches you that it is ravut. And it's actually calls attention to itself by not using the word ravut in order that you should know it also means square. Anyway, that was one basis. How do we know that the entry, so to speak, of the Mizbeach, the Pnei HaMizbeach, is on the Dorum, and that's where the Kevesh belongs? However, there's also a Braita that has a different book. And the Braita goes like this, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Uma'alotehu. So now this is part of the tour of the Malach, of the Beis HaMikdash to come. And it says over there that the Ma'alateu Pnot Kadim, the Ma'alateu is the Kevesh, what you go up on, it turns to the east. And from this pasuk we learn, this is what the Braita says, which is very strange, that Kol Pinot Shata Pone Loyu Eladerach Yamin Lemizrach. Now it doesn't say anything about turning right here. Okay, it just says, when you turn and you get to the top of the Kevesh, you turn onto the Mizbeach and you turn right, you're going to be going to the east. But it doesn't say you turn right. You put in the words into the mouth of the Yecheskel Malach, but he never said it. Now, if you say that, I mean, yes, obviously, if it's given that the Kevesh is on the south, then if you turn right, you're going to be turning east, obviously, but how do you know that that's what it means? Maybe it's the Mizbeach, actually the face of the Mizbeach is on the north, and you're making a left turn. Why do you have to make a right turn? If you make a left turn from the north, you're also turning to the east. So I don't understand how you learn any of this. So the Ema, maybe it means that you turn left in order to get to the east. No. You can never turn left. That's out of the question. But that it's true we don't know that from this pasuk. That we know from another pasuk. The Tani Rami Bar Yechizkiah. Yam She'asa Shlomo. Here's the pasuk that describes the enormous yam. It was supposed to be a remez to the actual ocean. And it stood on 12 different parim. And they turned in different directions. They were facing different directions. And on top of it was this incredible yam, which was filled with water, and it was omed al shnei masar bakar. And here's a strange pasuk; it sounds very repetitive. Shlosha ponim tzafona, u'shlosha ponim yama, u'shlosha ponim negba, u'shlosha ponim mizrach. This, by the way, is the same pasuk, remember, where we learn out the value of pi in the Torah, where it talks about how the circumference relates to the actual radius of this yam. This is the beginning of that pasuk. So we have over here, you've got three turning north, three turning west, three turning south, and three turning east. Now, that means that you're going in a counterclockwise direction. And from there we learn that when you're dealing with something that has to do with Beis HaMikdash, you can only turn towards the right, which in the case, why do I say towards the right? Because if you are facing an object that you're turning around, then you'll be turning counterclockwise to get these directions, right? north, west, south, and east is counterclockwise, facing the Yah. So this tells us, in terms of the Pesach and Yecheskel going up to the Mizbeach, if you're going to be turning facing the Mizbeach towards your right, then you will get to the east only if you got onto the Mizbeach on the south, obviously. So you come up on the south on the Kevesh, you're facing the Mizbeach, you move towards your right hand, extend your right hand, move your right hand, and that will be the direction that will take you east. So from there we see that it must be Le Mizrach. But how do you learn that out of the Pasuk? I mean, the Pasuk is just describing the Yam. I mean, whatever it would say, I mean, you have to describe it some way, you know. Where does it, you learn from here that this is telling me that this is the only way to go, counterclockwise? I mean, what if it would have chosen some other way to say it? Well, I mean, what if it'd be randomized? I mean, no, that's not the point. The point is the extra word ponim. Why do we have to constantly say ponim? You want to say that they were facing different directions, so say that there were shlosha that were ponim tzafona, u'shlosha yama, u'shlosha negba, u'shlosha mizracha. I mean, that's the way to say it. To keep repeating, okay, you're going to be turning, turn on, my boy. And each point is turn on, so it's teaching you how it is that you're supposed to turn. That's the point. So him came, ponim, 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 lomami. So therefore, it's coming to teach me this is the way to be poneh. Show Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lekunia that Rabbi Yossi. I was told, is it really true, that Rabbi Shimon said that you have to leave an actual gap between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach, and that it didn't actually touch the Mizbeach. Is that true? Oh, my Lord, Rabbi Yossi said to him, what do you mean, is it true? You can't figure that out yourself? Yata, yata, omer, can you don't understand that there's got to be true. Valuk var nemar. V'asita olotecha basar v'adam. What's the connection between basar and dam? It's supposed to be done in the same way. Asita olotecha. It's teaching you that just like dam is bezrika, it goes through a certain amount of airspace before it hits the mizbeach. The only time that we put the dam directly on the mizbeach is when we're not doing it bezrika, but we do it with the etzva of the koi. But in all of the other korbanos, besides the chatas and shvicha, we do it bezrika. So therefore it's telling me, just like dan is bezrika, boser is bezrika. Omar lo, Rabbi Shimon ben Yosef ben Lekunia said, well, of course I'm not stupid. I know that it has to be done bezrika, but I thought that the meaning of zrika is you stand next to the ma'arocha, and you throw it onto the fire. But it doesn't mean that from the kevesh, you throw it over a gap. That's what I thought it meant. Says Rabbi Yossi, how can it mean that? Let me ask you something. Kishu zorek, l'maracha d'luka hu zorek, l'maracha she'ena d'luka. So when a kohen is throwing something onto the ma'arocha, is he throwing it onto an area that's on fire? Or does he throw it onto non-fire? Obviously, he's throwing it to be burned, right? So, havi omer, l'maracha d'luka hu zorek. Otherwise, it wouldn't be burned. So, of course, you have to put it there. So, that, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. I mean, how in the world are you supposed to, you know, unless you're an Indian fakir, you know, you're walking with your toesies on the coals and you get to the point. That's ridiculous. Of course, you have to go ahead and throw it. So, Hasimishim Dolo Efshar, what choice do you have? I don't need the Hekish to tell me that. So, if I come along with the Hekish to tell me how to do the Avaida, it's coming to tell me something else. And therefore, it means that it has to be thrown in the sense that to get from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach, it's thrown onto the Mizbeach because of that gap. Rav Papa Amar, Kidam. Actually, it's clear that you can't be talking about throwing it onto the, standing next to the ma'aracha and throwing it onto the area that's aflame. Because, I mean, it's comparing it to dam. And the dam has to go through avir. So it's the avir of the karka, mafsiko. It's that you're going to be throwing something through the air is what you do. So then that would mean av basar, avir karka, mafsiko. So you can't say it's from the top of the mizbeach because then there's no real gap from the ground. Now, obviously, there's no real gap from the ground here either, because even if there's a gap, it's going to be over the Sovev. It's going to be over the ground, right? So as Tosfos explains, it doesn't mean literally veer from the actual karka. That's Lav Davka, because you would just be the gap is over the Sovev area. So what we mean is that you have to have the type of air that is noticeably, you're throwing it away from a surface onto that surface. That's the point. Doesn't mean literally it has to be the avir from the ground between you. Omer Yehuda, there's another thing we haven't mentioned. We talked about it a little bit before. That is that there are exits on the Kevesh. Actually, two exits. One on the right, where you exit to the Yesod, and one to the Sovev, and one on the left, which is where you go down to the Yesod when you're coming off of the Mizbeach. And they also did not touch the Mizbeach. But there's another simple reason. It's not because of the comparison to Dan. It's because it says Saviv. So since it says Saviv, it means that there has to be an actual perimeter that sets aside the Mizbeach. You'd be able to put something in between it. So it's really, it's all around. If you put something else up to it, then it's not Saviv. It's not square either. So you don't have it all around. And Rabbi Abu says, well, I mean, the reason could be just because it says Ravua. I mean, if it's touching the Mizbeach, it's not square anymore. It's a square with a big tail coming out of it. That's not a square. So, and actually, both of these psukim are important. Itzuch l'michtav Saviv. You need to know that it was Saviv, but you also need to know that it's Ravua. Because if the Torah says Saviv, the mashmaut would be that you're allowed to make the Mizbeach in a circle. As you say, Saviv, to go around is usually round. So it would be Ogil Me'agel. Therefore, the Torah says Ravua. On the other hand, if it said Ravua, Ravua could mean rectangular. How do we know that all of the Midos need to be the same? That's because of Saviv. Katav Rahmana is Saviv, which would mean that the closest thing to a circle, which is Saviv, and that would mean that it's defining a square. Now, it says in that Mishnah, when we're talking about that Mishnah in Midos, actually we've been progressing in Midos. We're now all the way up to the fifth parak, because the previous Mishnah was in the third parak. So it says that put it together, the Kevesh and the Mizbeach, and it equals 62. Yes, the Gemara, didn't you just say that the Kevesh was 32 and the Mizbeach was 32? And last I heard 32 and 32 are 64. Therefore, the point over here is that Nimtza Poreas Ama al Yesod, the Ama al Sovev. Like we explained before, it's like a jigsaw. When you get up, the Kevesh comes up to Mizbeach, it's not a flat surface. It has an indentation to put it over the area of the Yesod, and then it has another indentation of an Ama to go over the Sovev until it gets up to the top. Of course, that was dependent on the machlokas of Levi and Rav we had earlier about whether there was a physical Sovev and not a legal Sovev, or there wasn't even a physical Sovev. It was going to that the area of the Sovev.
Does that mean like a projection? When Rebbe says an indentation,
no, open, is that... no, above the indentation, it was a projection. It was cut away to leave room.
So, okay, yeah. It's an overhang. It is overhanging.
Yeah, it's overhanging the area in two places. So that took up two amot from, again, measured along the ground, which is where we were measuring the ground. Now, as far as if you understand that you've got to get up to the top of the Mizbeach, which is 9 amos high, and you've got 32 amos along the ground to do it, so then if you use the simple geometry, what you see over here is that the Kevesh to the Mizbeach was actually a very gentle incline compared to whatever else needed to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously the Beis HaMikdash was wheelchair accessible. I mean, of course. So the question of that would mean that there would be a lot of kvashim in the Beis HaMikdash. And places where there were stairs, there were probably also kvashim. It doesn't explain where these kvashim were. But a standard kevesh is a rise of one amma over a 3 ammas horizontal surface. That was the typical rise. But the kevesh of the mizbeach, because of the fact that you had the need to actually carry up pretty heavy things going up that kevesh, was a gentler incline. And over there, you had shalosh ammas umechza. If you work out the geometry of it, the 32 to get into the 9 would mean that you have 3.5 ammas for each amma vertically, together with 1 1/3 etzba. When we talk about an etzba, we're talking about the zachruta. The zachruta is the middle piece of the thumb. That's how we measure the etzba. We're not talking about, you know, a pinky or stam and middle finger, but we're assuming there are 4 etzbaot to a tefach. The only etzbaot of which there's 4 to the tefach is a reference to the thumb, which is over here called the zachruta, because Tosfos explains that the zachruta is the part that sticks out, which is the joint, sticks out a little bit more than the actual thumb itself. Okay, Rabosei, that was a lot of fun. And now we have finished examining the Mizbeach in all of its sizes and in all of its places and in all of its shapes and in all of its history and in the various different locations. It's really been quite an exciting journey that we've done here. Really, really very beautiful. And we'll get back to the main topic, which is the continuation of the Makomam. The Ezu Mekomam, which here we have to start talking about things we haven't talked about yet, and that would be the Menachas. We haven't talked about Menachas. We haven't gotten into the Dinim of the birds. So we've been a little bit lax in our descriptions, and it's time to move on. And of course, Barnea wants to point out that in his last trip to the neighborhood, where he was actually walking around on his Mizbeach, together with Yecheskel, of course, and together with learning how to give the tour around the Mizbeach HaShlishi, which was all there in order for it to provide for Barnea's neighborhood. What did you see?
I want to invite Rebbe and everybody to come on a tour of the Easter Wall, where you can see the difference between Ered and the Chashmoneh and Bayis Rishon. It is thrilling to stand by the Bayis Rishon stones and to discuss the 500 Amos on the coast of Mizrach and the
Abdom. Well, what are you, some kind of archaeologist? We're talking about the future, baby, not the past. I thought you're... What's going on?
No, I'm telling you, correct. I was saying the means that we can prepare and work out where office is. But in previous years, I just worked out my notes. Rebbe made a bigger deal about the Echad She'ed Lehem Al-Torah Shetich Katev Ashurid, meaning stop using Sav Ivri. And why, and
yes, it's beautiful. I gave over, I think, from Reuven Margolios. Yeah, it's a fantastic, right? That's probably what I did. It's a very long piece, but very beautiful piece. Okay, but it isn't Mitzvah Shabbos. So, wishing everyone a Shavuot Tov, Bevorach, Hinei El Yeshuati, Eftach, Fuzon Eftan, and Bezrat Hashem. We start our march towards Hanukkah, which brings us to David Solomon's raised hand.
I thought I was losing out. Can Rebbe restate that final line of the Gemara? What is the angle?
The angle?
The angle of the rise of the Kevesh.
Well, you have to get up to 9 amos high, because you have to reach the surface of the Mizbeach besides the Kranot, and you can do it only over a horizontal surface on the ground that's 32 amos. So how long, you figure out how long would the actual top of the kevesh be, and what would be the rise per amma on the ground. So it's different. If you take a look, it's different than standard rises. Actually, Richie will remember that that level of rise is what we measured in Finland to be able to see whether we needed an Erev in that location or whether we could rely on the actual ground to
the slope.
The slope would be enough of an Erev. Remember that? We used to do that quite often. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Osai, it's been fun.
So what's the measurement? Etzba, Vishalish Etzba, like very small. Or,
No. 3.5 amos plus the etzba and shlish shlish etzba. That's what it's saying. It's quite a long. So it's longer than usual.
I see. Okay. I missed that. Okay. Thank you.
A pleasure. Kotov, Shavua Tov. Happy Shavua Mivarakin, huh? Take care of him.